Good morning, brave souls. And welcome. We're so glad you're here. And you made it safely to a warm place that has power and heat and most of all, love. It is good to be together. We especially welcome those of you who may be new with us, new to us, or not been here in a while. And special welcome to baby Lily Bonn. Is she still in the room or did she already go? There she is with Mama. We're so glad to see the Bonn family. And Lily will be a month old tomorrow?
A
couple days ago. She's already... She's 5 weeks old. We're glad you're here. I invite all of you to take a moment this morning, not only to fill out your connection card, but also to look at announcements related to various things that are going on in our church life. Please take some time this morning, if you haven't already, to check out the telephone directory draft. We want to make sure everyone is included with their correct contact information, so we need your help with that. I think the rest of the things you can read for yourself, except I do want to invite and encourage all youth and adults to make your way back up to this room after fellowship time at 11:30 for the first of a series of sessions we are going to be having on welcome and inclusion and what we mean by that, specifically when we're talking about the LGBTQ community. And this morning we're going to be kicking off with Pastor Paul presenting on the Bible and sexual orientation and gender identity. It's going to be a great presentation and series of conversations, and we hope that you will stick around for it. 11:30 to 12:30 in this room. The warmth of God's Spirit and God's love fills us with that same love. Let's respond to that this morning in every way we can, towards each other, towards our world, and towards God. Let us worship.
Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you that we are all here on this cold morning in the warmth and happiness of this place. Thank you for the birds that have started to come back, reminding us that spring is near. We are grateful for signs of hope. Now clear our minds of troubles and distraction and help us to focus on your word and learn from your love. Amen. Hears my prayers. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good." I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Reading from the third chapter of the book of Acts. This is a few weeks after the beginning of the church. A man who was lame has been healed from an encounter with Peter and John. A big crowd gathers, and the reading begins. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we had made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we were witnesses. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what had been foretold through all the prophets, that God's Messiah must suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
you pray with me? God of all goodness and beauty and love, we lift our praise to you. As gray covers the morning, as cold chills our bones, your light does shine on us and our world. Just as ice and snow try to tell us that the new season is just like the old season, so our old doubts and fears try to lure us into believing that nothing can change, people cannot change, we cannot change. And yet, we have also been hearing birdsong, reminding us that hope does not depend only on what we can see or feel. The song of hope calls us out of our fear, our suspicion, our mistrust. It calls us out of darkness and into your light, which already shines, even when we don't have the eyes to see. And even when we don't have the eyes to see, you see. You see us as we are, and you love us. You see us as we mean to be, and you save us. You see us as we could become, and you transform us. Help us to see, too, and to trust. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to see each other with soft eyes and tender hearts. Help us to see others with your compassion and concern. Help us to see those who need grace, who need kindness, who need solidarity. And then help us to move from vision to action. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us your power for love that sees and moves beyond all the simple boundaries and hard lines the world seeks to make. Give us the power of your love to shake the powers of this world, and help us to rise up and shine with your light. In love, we pray for those who need your special care. We pray for Joan Blunt, Jean Evey, Richard Bates, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Murphy Stumpf, Saw Nay Lin, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Liz Dalton, Jim Terrace, Sandy Nichols, the Urchuk family, Valerie Nebbia, Sunday M., Thea DeGroot, and for David. And now we offer you our private prayers in silence. Loving God, you sent Christ Jesus to show us the way, to be the way, and to lead us in the way. Through him, you call us all to life, and you call us to hope. As we receive and celebrate and claim all that your grace means for us, we ask you to increase our faith, to renew our hope, and to let our love abound to your glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and in Jesus' words we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. This is the Gospel according to Luke. While the disciples were talking about the Lord's resurrection, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieved, and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord. Now I'd like to invite all the children forward for time as children.
New congregational song. That's the song that we sing as we're coming up for time as children, because we're celebrating Easter, and we don't celebrate Easter for just one day. We celebrate Easter for a whole bunch of weeks, a whole bunch of Sundays. And when we picked out this song, Pastor Paul, Pastor Stacy, Miss Shanae, we were thinking, oh yeah, we get to celebrate the springtime. And then today happened. Does today feel like spring? No, we heard Rob talk about that and Pastor Stacy talk. It does not feel like spring. It does not. But God does help us experience all that is bright, all that is beautiful, all that is wise, and all that is wonderful, even when it's hard to see it. In our song, we sing that God gives us eyes to see it. All that good? God gives us eyes to see it. I need somebody who would be willing to wear the glasses for me. Avery, would you put those on? Great. Okay, great. Can you put those on? Good. Thank you. Oh, good. Eyes to see. Oh, and, you know, it doesn't say this in the song, but I think as spring comes, God gives us noses to smell the goodness. Can't smell it today. Could you stick that on your nose? I think that God gives us ears to hear it, too. There's all kinds of things that God has given us to experience God's goodness. And then, you know what? If it's hard to see, or if it's hard to smell, or hard to hear, God has given us lips that we might tell each other about the goodness. So now I need somebody who's really brave. Can I have somebody who's really brave? Piper, can I put big lips on you? Hey, look at me. Look towards me. No, keep your lips together. Keep your lips together. We're going to make really big lips. Whoa. Yes. Good. Oh, good. Okay, can you turn around? Let's show everybody. God gives us eyes to see the goodness and noses that we don't sing about, but noses to smell God's goodness, and lips. Our friends have lips that they might tell us of God's goodness when we need the reminder. And I love it that at the end in that song we just sang, we sang, how great is God who has made, past tense, who has made and will continue to make all things well. So we're going to sing it one more time through. And I'm going to give you bulletins so that you guys have the words to sing. If you are a reader, you can open the bulletin, and it's on the third page there. And we're going to sing it one more time with Miss Shanae now that we have the words in front of us. And you can be thinking about those eyes, the nose, the lips. And let's sing together. Go ahead and start us, Miss Shanae. You guys open that? Here. Right here. Pray together. Can you put your hands by your eyes? Thank you, God, that you gave us our eyes to see your goodness. Put them by your ears. Thank you, God, for our ears that we might listen and hear of your goodness. Put them by your lips. Put your fingers by your lips. Thank you, God, for our lips that we might tell of your goodness to one another, especially in times when it's hard to remember, God, that you are always good. For we know that you are God Almighty, and you have made all things well. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
with me, please. Gracious God, may the words now spoken be instruments of your living word for us all. May these be planted like seed in our lives and bear fruit in our thinking, in our believing, and our living through Christ our Lord. Amen. A woman went into a tea shop, ordered a pot of tea, and sitting down with it, prepared to eat the package of cookies that she had brought. The tea shop was crowded, and a man took a seat opposite her to drink his tea. He was Jamaican and black, and she was white, though these facts are not necessarily relevant to this story. The woman, reading her paper, took one of the cookies from the package. And to her surprise, the man took one too. She was irked, but returned to her paper, then took another cookie, and so did he. She glared at him, and then as she watched, he took the last cookie and broke it and gave half to her. She stormed out, walked quickly to her bus stop, reached for some coins for the bus, and there in her purse was her package of cookies. She had been eating his. Does the story show her to be a bad person? Not at all. It shows only that she didn't know where her cookies were. And naturally assumed that the ones in front of her were, of course, hers, and so was naturally annoyed that her table mate was eating them. Most galling to her, surely, was his smile when he gave her half of the last one, as this could only mean his mocking of her. How could she know it was a smile of kindness? That she was the one taking, that he was the one graciously sharing. She just assumed, that's all, that these were hers, and so had no idea that she was seeing everything wrong. All of us live with her problem. Our assumptions blind us, and assumptions are inevitable. They're embedded in us from our social location in the world and how we were raised and what we've read or heard and what the people around us believe and how our personal or imagined experience has been, not to mention the natural disposition of our particular brains to move through the world in certain ways. It adds up. Plus, it's just human nature to make sense of our world by organizing everything into patterns. And whatever doesn't fit the pattern is invisible to us, or if we see it, we alter its meaning so that everything in our way stays intact. Assumptions are lenses through which we see and sort and filter and imagine and magnify and ignore, and often that means we are mistaken, sometimes badly mistaken. There's a whole lot we think we know, and we don't know it all. So here's another story about mistaken assumptions. One day, Peter and John are going to the temple, and a lame man is sitting on the pavement begging and asks them for money. Peter said, "I don't have any money, but I'm happy to share with you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took the man by the hand and helped him up And the man took a step, and then another step, then took off running and leaping and laughing and shouting praise to God. Jesus had told Peter long ago, one day you'll be fishing for people, and now here he is hauling one up. Word spread like wildfire, and a big crowd gathered, amazed and gawking at the man, then at Peter and John. And Peter said, "Why does this surprise you? And why on earth are you looking at us? As if we had power or purity enough to do this. The God of us all did this. The God who raised Jesus from the dead." He's asking them to rethink some assumptions. Why do you think it was us? We're not wizards. We're certainly not saints. We're definitely not the point. The point is the power of resurrection. Starting with Jesus, resurrection is unleashed into the world, and you are looking at it now. And of course you also got Jesus wrong. Of course you handed him over to the Romans, though even they knew he was innocent. You preferred a murderer to live than for the likes of Jesus to live. So you killed the author of life. Harsh words, but then he adds some rather kind words at the end. "But friends, I know you did this from ignorance." Peter had reason to know all about doing things from ignorance. Jesus had said, "I must suffer and die." Peter said, "It does not work that way." When Jesus was arrested, Peter had slung a sword. He'd even said to Jesus, "I'll never desert you." But when the time of testing came, he was cursing, "I never knew the man." Peter, in truth, did not really know that man. Nor did he really know himself. Friends, I know you acted in ignorance. So did I. What about our ignorance? The way we misread each other and other people and misconstrue the world. We do this with people in groups and even with our own loved ones. We make judgments based on fragments of experience. We see them through the lens of past events. We project stuff that isn't there. We have impossible expectations. We simplify, reduce, and judge. It's surely partly how we got to the present debacle of our politics. All of us having arrived at or been born into our opinions, we've all made sure to read and hear only the voices that confirm us in what we already thought and agitate us further. Which has naturally led us to flatten people on who disagree with us into caricatures, which they are generally also doing toward us. Back and forth the game goes until we are a nation of caricatures. And what of our assumptions concerning God? Oh no, God cannot be like that. We know what God is like. Really? God does not ask me to do this or to risk this or to change my mind about that. How on earth can we be so sure? How invincible is our ignorance of the holy. It is not difficult to imagine Jesus himself at the end of time speaking the very words of Peter to us Christians. You acted in ignorance. Annie Dillard tells a story from her childhood. One Christmas Eve, there was a commotion at the door that night, and her parents called out, "Look who's at the door." And there in the doorway stood Santa Claus, a neighbor dressed in a Santa suit. She was terrified. She ran upstairs. To her, Santa Claus was like God, unseen and omniscient. He knows when you've been bad or good, and she was certain she'd been bad. Her parents kept calling up to her. She could see him looming in the doorway, and she never came down. Her essay ends with these words: "It was I who misunderstood everything. God, I am sorry I ran from you. You meant love and only love, and I felt only fear. So once in Israel, love came to us incarnate, stood in the doorway between two worlds, and we were all afraid. Our ignorance, our fear. How often are they one and the same?" The end of Peter's speech to these people is a little bit surprising. "Repent," he says. "Turn to God." Can that be quite right? I mean, if we didn't even know what we were doing, if the problem was misunderstanding, is repent really the right word? Repent of ignorance? Yes. Yes. Given the meaning of Peter's word for repentance, which literally is have a changed mind. A changed mind might have its beginning in saying something like this: "God, show me where I have been mistaken. Being human, I will always be wrong about something, but help me please do better than this. Open the eyes of my life to see others more truly. Let me perceive your world more clearly and see myself more honestly. And look for you more deeply. Keep me gratefully open to surprises and revisions of how I perceive, to the kind of changed mind and life that your compassion for us all would have me make." When Jesus was dying, someone close by his cross heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That prayer was answered in the raising up of the one who prayed it and who still invites us and helps us to see by truer light. To stand in that light is to see a great many things differently and more clearly. And to go on seeking and always rightly changing mind is to learn that the Spirit will lovingly and faithfully keep making it so. No days pass without invitation to give what is ours to give to God. So now we make our gifts here of what is in our hands for now to possess, or who we are to be transformed by the love of God. Merciful God, let all that we are and all that we have be finally and perfectly yours. For your loving purposes for us all, now and eternally. Amen. Rich as we are in the love of Christ, may we extend now his best gifts to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Amen.